I'm Gail Harrison for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. 2 months ago, the voters of Iowa went a-caucusing and once again confounded conventional political wisdom that the candidate with the most money and buzz wins. 2 months later, pundits and politicians are still absorbing the lessons of Iowa and New Hampshire and beyond, especially the swift rise and even faster fall of Howard Dean, whose internet-fueled grassroots organizing seemed unstoppable in the waning days of 2003. And now that John Kerry seems to have the nomination sewed up, Deaniacs and others are wondering what's next. At the head of the pack is his former campaign manager, Joe Trippi, who tapped into the power of the anonymous many and is now himself trying to figure out how to harness that power again with Dean gone from the race. We'd like to have you join us. Now that their standard bearer has left the campaign, where will the Deaniacs go and what will they do? And was the Dean phenomenon a momentary aberration or the first stirrings of a new grassroots Democratic movement? Do you think Joe Trippi can use the internet to take a collapsed campaign and turn it into a Democratic tsunami at the polls next fall? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining me now from the NPR studios in Washington is Joe Trippi. Welcome, Joe.
It's great to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you with us. And first of all, perhaps you can help me understand, draw the distinction between Dean's new effort, which was announced yesterday in Seattle, didn't seem to get a lot of attention, though. His is Democracy for America. Yours is Change for America. What's the difference between the two?
Well, the Dean for America is obviously Governor Dean's official committee. He seems to be focused on getting local folks elected. I think we'll see more out of that effort. And, you know, the Change for America is made up pretty much of I'd say 60-70% of the internet staff and people who put the internet campaign together for Dean for America. We're just a bunch of people who want to stay together, keep working together, and keep trying to make change in this country, and who are committed to defeating George Bush in November. So we're going to do that, and we'll probably support the governor in anything that that he and Democracy for America decide to do. We just try to make sure we don't duplicate our efforts and that we complement each other.
Were you surprised, frankly I was, in watching the networks last night? ABC, CBS, NBC completely ignored it. It was page A5 of the Washington Post this morning, buried in the New York Times. Does this tell us that Dean is kind of yesterday's news?
I think it's it just tells you where the race is right now. I mean, you know, this is between Kerry and President Bush, and I think, you know, the press has a very short attention span. Dick Gephardt and a lot of the other candidates, no matter what they do, can't get anywhere right now. The one thing about the Dean campaign is, regardless of whether we were in or out of the race or good or bad times, there was always, even today, there's news about Howard Dean, even if it is sort of on the back pages. But I mean, I think he had a big effect on this race. He really did give the Democratic Party its voice back, taught it how to be an opposition party. We showed Dean and his campaign showed that there really was a way to get back to the grassroots and to raise and to get out of this game of raising millions of dollars only from rich folks to buy television, instead go back to the grassroots and get hundreds of thousands of Americans involved in their democracy again. So, all of us, I think the governor and the people like myself who worked their hearts out for 13 months, and the grassroots supporters across the country, 600,000 of them, I hope will all stay involved, whether it's with Dean, Democracy for America, Change for America, or their own local organizations. I mean, that's what's important, that we don't stop, that everybody keeps fighting, and that, you know, if you stop, you give up and you don't change anything. So all of us in our own way, in our own efforts, working to change the country, that's what the Dean campaign was about, and that's what I was out there to do, and so many others are going to continue to do.
So do you see this really as long-term coalition building, about redefining the Democratic Party as the Republicans had to do starting in the 60s and certainly since the Reagan Revolution of the 80s?
Absolutely. I think there's no way that John Kerry and the Democratic Party would be where it is today unless it was for Governor Dean holding their feet to the fire, standing up against Bush, forcing the rest of the party to find its voice. And I think the big problem now is now that Governor Dean's out of the race, it's up to him and the rest of us to continue to press the party to take it to Bush. I mean, too many Democrats were going along with Bush on the war and other things. And if we now step off the playing field, there's no promise that they're not going to slip back. And we've got to keep pushing forward, make sure the people's voice is heard. And, I'm going to support Kerry, and I'm sure, I'd urge everybody to do that. But I think, it's really about more than just changing presidents. It's about changing the politics of our country. There's a reason we don't have health care in this in our country right now. It's not because Dick Gephardt didn't have a good plan or Howard Dean didn't have a good plan. It's because regardless of who gets in there and what their plan is, the special interests will knock it down. So it's not just defeating Bush. It's really pushing the envelope, changing our politics, getting people involved again, making sure that the American people understand that they're just as strong and in fact, stronger than the lobbyists if they band together, fight for the common good together, and make real change together. They can really change the way Washington and our country works. We can have health care. We can have campaign finance reform. That we can change the way we conduct our foreign policy.
But is it possible to do all of that and to keep people interested without a strong central personality, someone like Dean, that people can mobilize around? I mean, is this about individuals or is this really about ideas?
Well, it's about both. But the problem has been for the last 40 years, we had essentially broadcast politics. It was it started with the Nixon-Kennedy debate, where those who listened to the debate on radio thought Nixon won. Those who watched it on television believed Kennedy won. It should have been the moment when we all look back now and say that's when television, when we should have known television was really going to have a major impact on our politics. What we didn't know then was that the major impact was going to be raise a lot of money, buy a lot of TV ads, and what got left out were the American people.
Well, but also have a credible and preferably charismatic candidate to rally people around.
Well, no, I mean, now the difference now is that's where we are right now with the Internet. The Internet is literally at that. All the Dean campaign was the Kennedy-Nixon debate. It was one moment that everybody should look back, we'll look back on and say, hey, the Internet really is going to change America's politics for the long haul. And it is. And the reason it is because it empowers individuals to network themselves and become stronger across this country to make a grassroots movement that's strong enough to change the country. It's the only medium. Television can't do that. Radio can't do that. Print media can't do that because they're all one way. It's all the network to the people.
But Joe, two points, if I may. One is, yes, he had this wonderful mobilization of people through the Internet, didn't translate into votes at the polls. And number two, the other candidates haven't been able to use the Internet nearly as effectively as you and Dean did.
Well, first of all, as I said, we're at the early stages. This is the very beginning of the Internet having a major impact on our politics. It's like I said, John Kennedy may have won the TV debate, but that wasn't television was weak back then. It wasn't the power it is today. The net is now strong enough to have a major impact on a race. It's not strong enough to win it, but it will be very shortly because it empowers people. And then you get to, the issue of what happens when millions of Americans join together and make small contributions like they did to the Dean campaign? We raised more money than President Clinton, more money than any Democrat in history raised. Now, It is working for other candidates. John Kerry is raising, I think he raised $10 million in the last 10 days over the internet. We showed how to do it. We showed the way. And I think we could, you know, they could do it better than they're doing it. But the net's not going away. The genie's out of the bottle. The American people have figured out that they have power if they organize and use the tools on the net to do it. Mm-hmm. And that means, in my view, it's going to change everything. I mean, you look at what Napster did to the recording industry. This bottom-up empowerment that the net is about, it's crazy for Washington to believe it's immune to that kind of change. It's crazy, frankly, for any industry, whether it's the movie industry, publishing industry, the recording industry, and a lot of consumer companies to believe that they're immune to what's coming. It's bottom-up power, and it's going to change this top-down architecture that most of our institutions and most of the media and consumer companies are structured right now. Mm-hmm. And just as TV, no one could have predicted at the Nixon-Kennedy debate that television would become 500 channels and control everything. You know, just watch. The naysayers win for the first 15 years of a new medium platform. After 15 years, it's the naysayers are doomed because the change is coming and you're just seeing the first signs of it.
As you look at this, what seems to be a deep longing among the DENIACs, do you see it as really being about politics or perhaps just as much a desire for community? Because some of the appeals seem to be here, you know, get involved, meet other interesting people who believe the same way you do, believe that you can make a difference. You're meeting folks that in ways that perhaps normally might not have happened.
Well, I don't think it's just that. For Dean supporters, that's something that's happening throughout the country. People feel a real lack of community. The internet is about building communities. eBay is not an auction site. eBay is a community. And that is, when you looked at that and we looked at it in the Dean campaign and said, how could we, if you could build a community around eBay, you can build one around changing the country and around electing someone president of the United States. And I think what's happened in this election cycle is it's not just people who support Dean. The internet has come of age. It's matured enough now, and the tools are out there, things like meetup.com, the Dean Get Local tools are out there so that people can use the tools on the internet to meet locally face-to-face with their neighbors and build a better, with a better local community, a better campaign, a better, and make for a better national debate. And that is not going away. And that's what changeforamerica.com is. We're going to continue to build those tools and make sure they're available out there for the grassroots.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to continue our discussion. My guest this hour is Joe Trippi, Howard Dean's former campaign manager, and his new organization is called Change for America. Connection listeners, can a movement continue without the person who put it together? And now that the former Vermont governor is out of the race, where will all those DENIACs go, and what will they do? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Gail Harrison for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Gail Harrison for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from National Public Radio. We're talking politics this hour with former Dean campaign manager Joe Trippi, who is credited with using the internet to raise tens of millions of dollars for Howard Dean's presidential race and galvanizing a movement of grassroots supporters. So, Connection listeners, we put it to you. Did he unearth a true grassroots Democratic movement, or was his initial support something of an aberration? Are you one of those DENIACs? And does that mean that you will stay involved? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And let's go to our phone lines to Columbia, South Carolina first and hear from Tom. Hello, Tom, and welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much. And my congratulations to you, Joe. Really, to me, this is analogous to 1964 and the Goldwater movement, which basically became the Reagan presidency in the 80s. and has led up to this day. And so I wouldn't sell yourself short. While the internet is terrific, I think it's more than that. And I think that if you look at the way Goldwater was perceived, he was perceived as a nut and a fanatic by most people. And Johnson just creamed him. And it wasn't very hard to do. So I think that this is the beginning of something very significant. And I'll just hang up and take my response on the air.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Well, I think it is something very significant. I think one of the things that the Dean campaign did by getting so many people involved across the country is my own, you know, feeling is that 10 years from now, you're going to see a wave of people that were in their younger, you know, 20s today running for Congress. And being elected to Congress, and I believe 20, 30 years from now, there will be a president whose first involvement in American politics was the Dean campaign. A campaign, and they were all people who came into politics to change it, to get rid of the special interest, to make a difference. So that the Dean campaign is not just going to have a huge impact in the November election this year, and I believe it will, and I believe it's going to be part of the reason that hopefully Bush is defeated. But I also believe with you that there's going to be a significant sort of wave and wave of new people that were brought into the process this year who will become the leaders and have become the leaders in their local community, at their local meetup, or in their local grassroots movement, but who will become the leaders of the country either in the state house or Washington, and these are new people committed to change and committed to getting rid of the process the way it is. And I think that's important because I really do believe our democracy is at stake right now in the way our system works. It's just not conductive or conducive to the American people actually having a voice and getting involved. And that's what I'm about trying to change. And again, that's what Change for America, our new organization, changeforamerica.com, is about.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a Bill Clinton in the Rose Garden with JFK moment some years from now.
There will be.
I have to ask, it's just irresistible having you here because, you know, it's always interesting to draw back the veil a little bit from a campaign and ask what it felt like in those early days when you were mostly talking to yourselves and then as the campaign began to catch fire and then in the waning days when you had to be scratching your heads and thinking, okay, what now?
Well, no, I mean, we knew from the very beginning that there was absolutely no way under the rules and the calendar that an insurgent like Howard Dean should have any chance at getting the nomination. I mean, the National Democratic Party spent the better part of 20, 30 years rigging their rules to make absolutely sure an insurgent cannot win. And that's just the way it's been. We knew that. We knew that our only shot was to get big enough and strong enough to really win Iowa and New Hampshire if we could. Because if you can do that, the calendar moves so quickly that whoever won those first two states was going to be a shoo-in for the nomination. It was just the way the momentum works and the way the rules and the calendar were structured. So we went up against, I mean, pretty incredible odds. We had, at the end of January, 7 national staff people. I think we had $157,000 in the bank. And we had 432 known supporters nationwide. We built a campaign that ended up having 650,000 supporters, raised more money than any Democrat in history, including Bill Clinton, who didn't raise that his record amount as a governor from Arkansas. He did as a sitting president. We beat that. And I think we really changed the debate in the country. We were suddenly, the country was having a debate about the weapons of mass destruction. That debate should have been happening before the war. It was the Dean campaign that at least made sure we had it. And I think has changed the framing of the debate and really put George Bush where he is today and vulnerable, and I think Democrats are going to win in November. That said, we still had to deal with the attacks. Every presidential campaign is loaded with the other candidates coming after you when you're the front runner, and the press putting you under intense scrutiny. And That's what happened in our campaign with about 3 or 4 weeks before Iowa in a party that with both parties, frankly, I mean, both the Democratic and Republican Party are really structured right now to stop an insurgent candidacy. And so, you know, the odds are against you from the beginning. It was probably a miracle that we came as close as we did to hurdling those odds, but you know, we didn't make it. And that the other thing is, I mean, in a system that's as rotted and corroded and rusted as the one we're in, where broadcast politics and money have sort of framed everything for the last 40 years, this campaign went about trying to change that. Went about trying to change the way money was raised, went about trying to change the way you conducted a debate in this country, to tell people the truth and to stand up for what we believed in, to try to take the old system out in 13 months. We came pretty damn close to doing it.
But there had to have been moments when you thought...
But we're going to have to keep fighting for it, you know?
Well, there had to have been moments, certainly during the fall, when you thought, whoa, we actually could be the exception to the rule here. We actually could pull this off, no?
Yeah, but we never... It's really interesting because, yes, there you had the little... the thought would enter your head, and then we would just all go, no.
No, don't
no
think
way.
About that.
Do not believe that. We still have to fight. We're going to have to fight for every inch here, and they're still going to come and try to kill us. Hmm. And there was always a fairly realistic view at headquarters in Burlington, and I think the governor did, I know I did, that what we were up against was very formidable, that we had built... That not just us. I mean, 600,000 people out there had really built something that has made a difference for this country, and you know, maybe just maybe we were strong enough to get by the old politics. But in the end, it's why I'm here. It's why I'm doing ChangeForAmerica.com. It's why the governor's doing DemocracyForAmerica.com, because you can beat this thing. We can change the country. It's just going to take longer than 13 months and one campaign to do it. But we are strong enough. We all proved that. We really changed the Democratic Party's nominating system, turned it upside down, had a big impact. And I think we're all going to have an impact on defeating Bush. But changing presidents isn't enough. I want to change presidents. I want to get rid of Bush. But I also want to keep moving forward with the American people, getting involved in their democracy again, trying to make a difference together. I mean, we're self-government. You can't have self-government unless the American people participate. So I think there's a lot of work to get done to get people involved, to give them the tools that let them get involved in their own community and their own family, you know, get their families and friends involved, and that's what we're going to try to do.
All right. Let's go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina next and hear from Russ. Hello, Russ. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. First off, I want to say it's an honor to be talking to you, Joe. I do web design here in North Carolina for Democratic candidates, and everybody asked me to do for them what Joe did for Dean. But one of the trends...
Well, you guys
really
already
noticed...
did it for Dean. It's not just me. It's all of you is what I'm saying. Thank you for the work you did.
Oh, not a problem. One of the things that I've noticed really in successful Internet campaigns, especially among the Democratic Party over the last couple years, such as the Dean campaign or MoveOn.org, is it still relied on there existing some kind of, not necessarily completely unifying, but some kind of strong unifying issue. You know, with MoveOn.org, it was fighting the impeachment. It used to be censure and move on. And for the Dean campaign, at least in part, it was this anti-establishment, you know, anti-war campaign. Now, I think what the key is going to be for successful Internet campaigns in the future is answering the question that's put before Kerry right now, which is, when I don't have a single unifying issue, the way that the Dean campaign or the way that MoveOn.org had, how do I use the Internet to bring together a community of individuals with diverse interests? Or not necessarily, not to say that the Dean campaign didn't have a community of diverse interests, but at least a community that doesn't have some kind of single unifying unanimity on some sort of issue. And I'll take your response off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Russ.
Well, I think that... unfortunately, it comes down to the money. It was something I said earlier about health care. One of the things we recognized is that if Governor Dean was elected president, his health care plan doesn't have a chance, even though it's a great health care plan, didn't have a chance of getting passed because of all the various lobbying efforts that would be underway in Washington. So I think one of the great unifiers is to change our campaign finance system. And I mean, in other words, if regardless of what your issue is, the one reason, whether it's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, whether it's health care, whether it's campaign finance reform itself, the main reason it's not going to get passed, no matter how good or well-meaning our next president is because the American people don't have the power anymore. The power's been circumvented and moved into the system that doesn't work for us because it's all about taking money to buy television ads, and the people who keep funding this stuff get their way. So I think in the end, it really is. I said this during the campaign, and I meant it. I mean, I really believe there are 2 million Americans who would gladly give $100 to change the rotted system that has become our politics and to get rid of it. $100 each, and that'd be $200 million. And the force of 2 million Americans doing that would radically change our politics for the better. I think that we've got to find some commonality along all the issues that are being shut down by the lobbyists. We want health care in this country. Why don't we have it? Well, it's because of them, and it's because we need to combine our forces to have the power. And if we do that just one time, just once, it'll change everything. And I think that's what I think the governor's working towards. I know that's what we're working towards. It's what I think we need to. I agree with the caller. We need to find some unifying message that lets people understand that a small thing on their part, a $25 check or 4 hours of walking in a precinct, can really make a difference in this country. Not by yourself, but if we all do it together, we can change everything.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Joe, one of the big issues here is what happens to the list. You're talking about the influence of money in politics, which obviously is immense. And here you are, or here the governor is, here somebody is, perhaps both of you, with a list of 650,000 or so names and email addresses. Obviously, any politician would love to get his hands on that. What do you think Governor Dean will do with it, and what do you think he should do with it?
Well, what he should do with it is not give it, rent it, or anything to anybody else. I think he said that that's what he intends, the way he intends to conduct himself. I mean, these people who want the list are out of their minds. They don't understand how this works. I mean, for Howard Dean to give that list to John Kerry and for John Kerry to suddenly send emails to it saying, "Hey, I'm John Kerry, give me money," will not work. It absolutely will not work. The only way that it would work is for Howard Dean to send an email to those people himself saying, "I know you were with me, and I've decided to be for John Kerry, and I'm hoping you'll join me in supporting him. Click here and send him some help." So anybody trying to get their hands on the list is just doesn't understand how this works. There's a very personal relationship built up between Governor Dean and the Dean campaign and those people. Change for America, there's I get 5 or 10,000, literally 5 to 10,000 emails a day at jtrippy, at changeforamerica.com, my email address. And what happens is, those are probably up around 250,000 people right now who I talk to. I mean, they talk to me, and I try to the other campaigns used to laugh at me and say, why is Joe Trippi wasting all this time talking to obscure bloggers and answering, emails from people he doesn't know? Well, it's about building that community and being part of it. We've done that. And, I want to use what I've learned and what the campaign staff has learned and what all those people out there that have this energy and want to change the country. I want to use that in a way that's positive.
Okay.
But to give those names to somebody else would be a huge mistake, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, we want to go to one of our callers now from Greensboro, North Carolina. Tom's on the line. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Just wanted to ask you, I wanted to talk with you about some of the PR mistakes that Dean may have made that made him sort of a less attractive person amongst the field. When he said things like, for instance, when he said that the Rush, he was mad at Rush Limbaugh because he said something about the Philadelphia Jets quarterback, or when he didn't seem as excited as people would have thought when Saddam Hussein was captured. Those are moments when I think people look at him and he becomes a less likable person or a person that you can't connect with as well. And I was just wondering if you think if those gaffes really sort of affected people more so than the system of the Democratic Party working against him. Aren't people sort of looking for the candidate they can connect best with? And don't you think maybe Dean dropped the ball himself at key points in the race?
All right, Tom, appreciate the question. We just have a short time to answer it in, Joe.
Well, I mean, the governor has said that, you know, he made mistakes in the campaign, and I did as well. But, I mean, I think everybody does. I mean, it wasn't you don't get through a presidential campaign without and, you know, Kerry's made his share as well.
Well,
I don't
and
think
are those mistakes
happened.
Or is that just saying what he really thinks?
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't. I was going to get to that. I mean, when he said Saddam, we're not safer. We've captured Saddam. That's good, but it doesn't make us any safer. The interesting thing about that was he was right. 51, a Newsweek poll came out right after that, showing that 51% of Americans believed they were not safer after Saddam was caught, and 45% believed they were safer. So, here we are. The governor is saying something that 51% of Americans agree with, 45% disagree with it. Let's have the debate. There is no wrong or right on that one. Why not have a national debate about that issue, and have it out? But that wasn't what happened. The press corps went into gaffe, and the other candidates all went and screamed what a big mistake it was. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. My guest this hour is Joe Trippi, the man behind Howard Dean's run for president. Connection listeners, what do you make of the Dean phenomenon? Was it a true grassroots movement or just a flash in the pan? And does the Internet hold the key for political change in America? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Gail Harris in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from National Public Radio. I'm Gail Harris in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. This hour, we're discussing the changing role of Democratic politics and looking ahead to the November election with veteran campaign strategist Joe Trippi. And we put the question to you, do you think this is the end or just the beginning for a movement started by Howard Dean's run for president? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. If you'd like to join the conversation, that's 1-800-423-TALK. And Joe, I want to pick up on a point we were making before the break, looking back a little bit. And as you look back, do you see one of the turning points being the Gore endorsement? Because so much of Dean's appeal early on seemed to be that he was the outsider. He was the unconventional guy, not part of the establishment. And then suddenly he began looking like, another politician when Al Gore stepped forward and said, yes, this is the person to lead the party.
Well, I think the turning point was the Gore endorsement, but I don't think that was the reason. I don't think Gore turned us into a, turned an anti-establishment candidacy into an establishment candidate. What happened, though, was the day Gore endorsed us, the next morning, Dick Gephardt, John Kerry, John Edwards, Al Sharpton, every other one of the candidates decided, and Joe Lieberman decided, this guy's gotten too strong and we've got to destroy him. I mean, Dick Gephardt went out and just started savaging us from the next day forward for about 6 weeks. And about the same time, I think the press said, geez, with this endorsement from Gore, he's become the presumptive front runner, and we need to put him under the scrutiny that a presumptive front runner is supposed to go under. That's what our job is as press corps. And that's the first time both of those things happened at once. Usually what happens is a guy like Carter wins Iowa. The press goes into euphoric praise for the guy who just won.
Oh, boy, a new guy, huh?
Right. And the other candidates go, oh, this new guy, we have to kill him. So you have at least one of the institutional forces working for you against all the others. What happened because the Gore endorsement was an endorsement, not a win. And it signaled to the press and to the other candidates that we were for real. And then both went to work on us at the same time. That has never happened before. Gary Hart, 1984, takes second in Iowa. Press goes into the Gary Hart swoon, while Mondale goes into the Gary Hart attack. What you had was two forces, all the other candidates and the National Press Corps, both at the same time, not a conspiracy, just the way it happened, go after Howard Dean at exactly the same moment. And, yes, he did give them some ammo. The campaign did give them some ammo during that period. But I don't believe it was the ammo. I believe it was just how strong those two forces are when they get moving together. And then frankly, you know, Iowa, I love Iowa. I believe it's a really important thing to have a small state, state like Iowa, New Hampshire, because it's the only way left that an insurgent has any chance. If you got the bigger states than Iowa, it'd be impossible. But I also think demographically, Iowa just wasn't, it's older, you know, it was very easy for Dick Gephardt to scare seniors about, you know, saying Howard Dean would steal your Medicare. Mm. That was the oldest political book in the world. The rest of the country didn't see this, but there were ads after ad about how Howard Dean was going to destroy people's Medicare. He's a doctor. It was never going to happen. I mean, just saying we got stuck in the old politics.
Joe, let's go back to our phone lines, because I do want to get some more input from some of our listeners.
I get long-winded sometimes.
That's okay. Let's go to Amherst, New York next and hear from John. Hello, John. Welcome.
Hi, Gail. Hi, Joe. Hi. I meant to say, Joe, you are you're one of these likable guys. You know, I am a conservative. But what I wanted to talk with you about is I think you were really outdone by the Democratic establishment. And if I may ask, Joe, I believe that you are a liberal. You know, no, the only ones that I find out that don't like labels are liberals, because I'm a conservative. I'll tout it from the highest tree. I am a conservative. I believe in conservative thing. That's why your comparison to this being like a quasi-Goldwater thing, no one ever admits that they're a liberal. And my point in saying all this is that I think that everyone running is a liberal on the Democratic side, but they just can't tell people that they are. And I think that in the inner bowels, they said, well, listen, this guy can't give us away. I think there was a concerted effort. The Republicans had nothing to do with it.
So you're saying the Democrats did him in, John?
Pardon me?
You're saying it was the Democrats who did him in? Is that your question for Joe?
I think Joe will truly admit that the Democrats really put the death knell and put the nail in the coffin of Howard Dean.
Well, let's ask him. Let's give him a chance to respond to that. Joe?
It was everybody. I mean, the Democratic establishment, I mean, there's no doubt about it, did not want Dean to be the nominee, and they did everything they could to stop us. And all the other candidates obviously did. I mean, you know, we were not up against just the other candidates. We had there was a 527, a committee that was made up of, it now turns out, Gephardt contributors and Kerry contributors, you know, running attack ads against us up to the tune of $1 million. The Republicans did have committees up in attacking us. The Club for Growth ran ads in Iowa attacking us, attacking Dean by name. So you had this, and then you had the RNC was out there. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. The RNC was clearly out there dumping their op research files on Howard Dean. And in fact, the tape of the Iowa caucus tape in which the governor 4 years earlier had said that he thought the extremists voted in the Iowa caucuses, that tape came from the RNC. The Republican National Committee, and I don't think they'll dispute that. So, you know, it was a barrage that came from all quarters, and it was, you know, I've been through this seven times, or this was my seventh time. I've never seen anything like it. And the moment that it started was after Gore endorsed us. I think that was an alarm bell that rang throughout the other campaign headquarters, rang throughout the RNC, rang through newsrooms across the country that Howard Dean was for real, and he had to be stopped right then and there. And then again, I think You know, we did make some mistakes along the way, but it wasn't those those mistakes happen in every campaign.
Joe, I want to ask, as you think about creating change, which is what you say your real goal is here, one goal, I would think, would be to try to make people a little less cynical about the process. But you know what? Everything you're saying kind of feeds into that cynicism. You know, how do you go about saying, no, this is actually pretty clean, this is pretty open, and it's worth getting involved in, when you talk about the kind of things that are going on behind the scenes that many of us don't even know about until too late?
Well, I mean, I think that's what we have to do. I mean, there's only one force that has this system is rotted. It is rusted. It's taught every American out there that they cannot make a difference. I mean, it's designed to make sure the biggest hurdle our democracy has is the hurdle that we have to get over the average American's disbelief that they can make a difference. The Dean campaign set out to do that, set out to let people know you can if you do it together, if we fight together, if we stand against this mess, we can clean it up. And we raised more money than any Democrat in history. Yes, we didn't make it, but we're out there every day growing. That's what changeforamerica.com is going to do. I believe that's what democracyforamerica.com, the governor's going to do. And, you know, if we walk away from it, it's not going to change. It's going to get worse. And, you know, if you look at what these people did, not talking about Joe Trippi, I'm not talking about Howard Dean, I'm talking about the 600,000 people, the folks that went out there door to door, that sent their $25 in, they got over it. They didn't say my $25 check can't make a difference. They said my $25 check, if all of us do it, can make a huge difference. It turned the Democratic Party's nomination process upended it. It gave the party back its voice. It's the reason George Bush is vulnerable right now, because we were willing to take him on and show the rest of the party how to do that. And, you know, we're not going to give up. And I don't believe any of these people are. I think they're all going to vote. Some of them will be discouraged, but I think the vast majority of them will vote in November.
You're listening to The Connection from NPR. Well, speaking of that, about joining forces, it does call the question of, if you and Dean share such similar goals, why wouldn't you join forces at this point? Or is there just too much blood on the floor between you? It was not a happy ending as you left the campaign.
No. I don't believe that at all. I think part of it is, you know, it's really interesting because no one ever has asked me that. I worked for Dick Gephardt for president in 1988, and I was his deputy campaign manager, actually, and he went off and went back to the House, and I went and went back and tried to get members elected to Congress and Senate and governors, and no one ever asked me in 2003 why I wasn't going back to work for Dick Gephardt.
Like, well, not to work for him. The point is, you've got a website, Dean's got a website.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense for you guys to do this together?
I believe we probably will be. We're all there for the same goals. And but he, you know, I have a I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've been working on internet stuff for 5 years before I ever, you know, became involved with Governor Dean. I'm going to have my own blog. I mean, we started the first blog in presidential history. I was blogging for 2 years before I met the governor. In terms of the presidential, and I'm going to have my own blog, whether I'm working for the governor or with him or not. The one thing is, the staff of Dean for America, I believe, I've never had more pride in any group of people that I've ever worked with. These people worked tirelessly. They had worked hour after hour. They worked with the volunteers out there, and they did something amazing and changed this country. And I don't believe, when the governor had to let go of everybody because his campaign was over, I looked at that and said, why is it we built this Ferrari of getting people connected at the grassroots? Why would we want the wheels to be at the DNC, the pistons to end up at the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, and the valves to end up at the Democratic Congressional Committee, and the engine block to end up in some gubernatorial race in Iowa.
All right. So where's this car going to go, Joe, once you've got it activated in terms of the Democrats? I really need to get you to look ahead a little bit for us in the couple minutes we have left.
So what I'm trying to say, Gail, is I wanted to keep the car, all the parts, in one garage, at least temporarily, while we figured out what we could do. And where we're going to go with it is to right now at changeforamerica.com. We'll probably get behind whatever the governor is going to do, but in our own right, keep building the tools that let the American people take control of their democracy again. And that means right now doing everything we can to defeat George Bush, to make a real difference in the House races and Senate races in November. But beyond that, build a social movement for change that tries to get to the 2 or 3 or 4 million Americans we believe it's going to be necessary to get involved in their democracy again. People are not involved. They got involved this time in a way that hasn't happened in decades. We want to keep doing that.
Well, as you say, you got them involved. The challenge is, how do you keep them focused on that? Any ideas?
Well, I think by continuing to provide people the tools that got us here. I mean, one of the things that people need to understand is there's a reason it happened now, and the reason is the net is finally mature enough. The tools are on the net, things like meetup.com, things like the Get Local tools that we built during the Dean campaign, where you could put in your zip code, find all the other supporters in your local community, and say, let's meet today and go leaflet. And you did that on your own. And hundreds of thousands of people out there did that. The most significant thing that happened this year was not the money. It was that we proved you could use the internet to start something online and then meet face-to-face in your own community with dozens of other people who felt like you did, and take it forward and actually change the country and change your community. That's what was different this time.
Joe Trippi, it's been such a pleasure having you with us this past hour. Thanks.
Thank you.
Joe Trippi is Howard Dean's former campaign manager. His new organization is called Change for America. And you can continue the conversation in our online forums at theconnection.org. Tara Murphy is our senior producer. I'm Gail Harrison for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from National Public Radio.